Shelter in place, self-isolation, stay-at-home orders, self-quarantine. No matter what you call it, the reality is that we are homebound for the foreseeable future. Welcome to WAER Conversations. I'm Joe Lee. Being confined to home has its advantages. We can isolate ourselves from the dangerous novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19. We're discovering new methods of work productivity, and it's creating new engagement opportunities to strengthen relationships with friends and family. But on the downside, being confined to home can lead to a sedentary lifestyle. Our movements are restricted, we aren't burning the calories that we would under normal circumstances, and we have access to food all day long. So how can we stay fit when we're forced to practice social distancing? For help, I turn to life and weight loss coach Elizabeth Sherman, owner of Total Health by Elizabeth. She is an ACE certified health coach and personal trainer. We talked about ways to stay fit when we're forced to practice social distancing during the pandemic. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Total Health by Elizabeth.
So what I do is I help folks get consistent in their nutrition, their eating, their exercise, and their sleep habits. So their lifestyle habits so that they can live a happier, healthier, just general better life. And what we do is we together decide what that looks like for my client. I am a life and weight loss coach. And what we do is we step goals so that they can accomplish what it is that they want to do.
That's great. So what do you see to be some of the health challenges that we all face during this sort of sudden and drastic lifestyle change that staying at home and being bound to home is giving us?
Yeah, so really good question. And I think that being home affects everyone a little bit differently. I was just writing on Facebook the other day how I am a self-proclaimed introvert. And so I don't mind staying at home. And I actually work from home. So, you know, my schedule hasn't changed a lot. However, I do know that there are a lot of people out there who are used to getting up at a certain time of day, and they're used to going to work and doing their normal routine. And so now that they don't have their routine, they're feeling a little bit out of control. And so, you know, I think for some people, it can feel like a depression. I think for some people, it can feel like a loss of control. And I think that, you know, again, it influences everyone a little bit differently. And the weather that you're experiencing can also have a huge impact on the way that we perceive being at home and being with our loved ones, mm-hmm. whether, you know, those are people that you do truly love and enjoy or that drive you a little bit crazy, because I know sometimes family can do that.
So one of the things that we wanted to talk about and explore today is, as we do this series we're doing on maintaining our health during COVID-19, is the physical fitness piece of it. But you like to address this and look at this holistically from a nutrition standpoint, from a stress management, mental health standpoint, and the physical activity, right?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, one of the biggest complaints that I get from folks is that they just hate to exercise. And so when I think that the reason why most of us really don't like to exercise, because you know what, I don't either. But I think that one of the reasons why is because we feel like it's some sort of punishment. And so if we can shift the way that we think about exercise so that it's not a punishment, so that it's not a way of balancing our calories, that it's not a way to work off the extra beer that you drank or those treats that you had, but rather as a stress management tool, then I think that we can start to shift the way that we think about exercise so that it's actually something that we get to do instead of something that we have to do.
Mm-hmm. So getting into the physical piece of it,
What concerns have your clients expressed with regard to maintaining some physical health during this time? So, you know, if I look at my own example, I have a gym membership at the YMCA. And so I'm pretty stuck to my routine. I come home from work, I change my clothes, or I may take gym clothes to work. I go hit the gym, do my workout, come home, you know, fix dinner, all that stuff. Now I'm stuck at home. I don't necessarily have a lot of gym equipment. Live in an area where it's not always conducive to get outside. The weather isn't always, you know, fair. So what kinds of things can we do to start some sort of routine that gives us the physical fitness that we need? And yeah. how do we even get motivated to do that?
Okay. Two different questions.
Two different questions.
So let's address the first one first, which is what do we need to do in order to either maintain or start an exercise program? Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I want to suggest is that you do not have to have a gym. You do not have to have a lot of fancy equipment. In fact, I myself work out at home every day, and I do not have a lot of equipment. I have a few sets of dumbbells, mm-hmm. and I have some bands. And bands are super inexpensive. You can buy them off of Amazon today. Mm-hmm. And I also have a ton of exercise resources on my website, which will be a link in the show notes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one is... start out small. So do what you can. And as far as the benefits of exercise go for stress management and being able to process your thinking better and just elevating your mood, you do not have to spend a lot of time doing it. So again, I exercise for a total of 20 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
So start out small, maybe start out with 5 minutes. And what I like to do is I like to do a lot of timed workouts. So I have a timer on my phone and I do something for 30 seconds, for example, and then I rest for 30 seconds and then do it again. So one really great exercise for folks is to do squats. If you can't do squats, then find a sturdy chair and sit down in the chair and then stand back up again without using your arms.
Mm-hmm. And okay? what are we trying to achieve with exercises like that, like squats? Are we trying to get the heart rate up or build strength? What are we doing?
Good question. Both.
Okay.
So, yeah, like the type of workouts that I do full body workouts. And when I was a personal trainer, I liked to do full body workouts with my clients as well. And the reason why I liked doing that is because, when you work a muscle like your legs or your chest or your arms or your back, what you're doing is your body needs to fill that muscle with blood in order for that muscle to be able to work and create energy. And so when you're working multiple muscle groups at the same time, your heart has to work that much harder in order to fill all of those muscle groups with blood. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And so what you're doing in essence is you're strength training and doing cardio all at the same time. So you don't have to then do strength training and then go do your cardio.
Right.
You can hit both of those birds with one stone.
So it makes it a very efficient workout then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And with the bands, that's giving us the resistance exercise that we need. Is that's helping with strength exercise where we don't have a ton of weights to provide resistance? Is that
exactly
the idea? Okay.
Exactly. Because when you don't have weights, you really only have your body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a ton of different body weights like push-ups. And there are lots of different variations to push-ups. I have a bunch on my website. One that I really like is called a negative push-up, which if you've ever done yoga, they also call it a chaturanga, where you're just low, you're in the top plank position, and then you're slowly lowering yourself down. So you're not actually having to push yourself up again, but you're getting a lot of the benefit from doing the push-up that way. So yes, if you don't, if you can't do body weight exercises, bands are a great way of incorporating that strength into your exercise.
When building a session, let's assume we're talking to beginners. When building a session for yourself, what's your recommendation on time, the amount of time we should spend doing this, the number of exercises, and are there particular muscle groups that we should work on in a session?
Yeah. So again, it depends on your experience level with exercise. But for starters, what I like to do is do as much as you can. Okay. So however much time you have available to you, 5 or 10 minutes is fine. 15 would be better. Okay. And again, depending on how many days a week you have available to do that, you can do that. So twice a week for 15 minutes a session would be ideal for a beginner. And what I like to do is I like to start out with the major muscle groups. Your major muscle groups are your legs, your chest, and your back. And why I like to start with your major muscle groups is because those are the muscle groups that have the most muscle. So like if you think about your bicep, okay, so if you were to do bicep curls, for example, your bicep really is a small muscle group. And so you're not going to actually get a lot of increase in metabolic rate or calorie burn by working that muscle. Same thing goes for abs. And so you really want to do things that use multiple muscle groups. So like your legs, doing push-ups, if you're fit enough to do pull-ups, that would be great. But there are some back exercises that you can do as well.
Great. That's a great point. So if we are at home, what kinds of exercises can we do with backs, assuming we don't have a pull-up, chin-up bar? What kinds of things can we do to work the back muscles?
Yeah. So a couple back exercises that I really like. One, and hopefully I can explain these well without having visuals. So one is what I call Supermans, or Superwomans, however you want to call those. And what you do is you lay on your stomach and you lift your arms and legs up off the ground, kind of like if you are
skydiving,
falling out of an airplane.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another one would be what are called hyperextensions. So it's similar to the Superman, but instead of having your arms out to the side, you have your hands underneath your chin. And your legs are still on the floor and you're lifting your upper body up off the floor. So you're arching your back and you're lifting your upper body off the floor.
Great. Those are, okay. I'm going to incorporate those. In terms of the physical piece of it, how should we go about measuring success? How should we tell whether or not this is getting us the benefit that we need?
Yeah. So I think that for the true benefit of exercise, it can be a little gray. Like, how do you know that you're becoming happier through, you know, incorporating exercise into your routine? Now I can talk to the definition of fitness, which is we know that we're becoming more fit when we can work harder and need little rest time. So the less rest time you need to recuperate after an exercise, the more fit you're getting. But there are lots of other benefits of exercise, which is reduced stress, better sleep, more focus on in productivity. And so those are a little bit less more elusive to judge whether we're seeing benefits of those.
Okay. Now, let's pivot a little bit to the nutrition side of things. How should we be consuming food when we are less active? What kinds of food should we be consuming for better health outcomes while we're on home lockdown?
Well, of course, everyone knows that you really want to limit your exposure to processed foods, and you want to eat more whole grains and vegetables and fruits and, you know, non-processed meats. Okay. Mm-hmm. So those rules still apply. Now, what I really like to do with my clients is I like to get them in touch with their hunger scale. And so get them in touch with how hunger feels in their body. And when we do that, what can happen is the food will actually tell us when we've had enough. So if you eat foods that are high in fat, really, you need to eat less of those. And your body will tell you when you're full. So if you're eating at a normal pace, not too fast, then what will happen is your body will tell you when you've had enough of that food. And so if you're not eating for enjoyment, if you're eating for hunger and really trying to pay attention to your hunger scale, mm-hmm. then what will happen is you won't overeat.
Okay.
Because the less active you are, the less hungry your body gets. And this is the same for when folks get injured. They get really nervous about, oh no, I still need to exercise because I need to work off those calories. But again, if you're paying attention to how hunger feels in your body, then you really shouldn't have to adjust what you're eating so much as how much you're eating, because the less active you are, the less hungry you should be getting.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges that we're going to face and that we are facing while we're sheltering at home is having all of that food and all the snacks and everything just in your face all day long. So, I mean, as I'm walking around the house preparing for another video meeting or a call, or walking to my computer to generate a file or something, I'm walking past the pantry. I'm walking past the kitchen. And I think a lot of times it's out of boredom that you reach for the bag of cashews or potato chips or, you know, in a good circumstance, a banana or an apple. So it's how do you fight off the temptation to just be active with your hands? As my daughter told me, her mouth gets lonely, so she's just giving it some company. You know, I was like, what are you doing with that bag of chips again? Well, my mouth is lonely, so I'm giving it some company. So how do you get yourself in the right frame of mind to not do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's something that I work with my clients on often. And we don't necessarily think about boredom as being a negative emotion. And so what I do is I help my clients deal with emotional eating. And so boredom eating is just another flavor of emotional eating. And it's just a matter of acknowledging that you're bored and you're not hungry and that you should go and do something else if you don't want to eat. And so again, going back to that hunger scale and how hunger feels in your body, when you find yourself, and this is something that I had to do myself. So I'm not talking about, you know, giving people advice when I haven't gone through this. I lost probably 50 pounds within my whole journey.
Wow.
And one of the things that I had to do was pay attention to when I was eating for reasons other than hunger. And so once you start paying attention to those hunger cues, when you find yourself in front of the pantry or scouring through your cabinets looking for food or looking in the refrigerator for the third time, it's really time to check in with yourself and ask yourself, what is it that I'm avoiding by trying to eat instead of feel my feelings?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what's going on here? And so once you start to do that enough, what will happen is the neurons in your brain will stop going towards the pantry or the refrigerator to satisfy that boredom, and they'll look for other ways of doing that.
Okay. So when should we think about, because we have no idea how long this is going to go on for, when should we start maybe considering a virtual coach like yourself?
Yeah, if you think that you really need help in getting consistent or getting your eating or exercise under control, then, you know, that would probably be a good time to, you know, look for someone like myself, or there are tons of other coaches out there that are available for you.
So, Elizabeth, are there any pitfalls that we should look out for in terms of either working out or managing the nutrition piece of it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I see this with folks all the time, especially around New Year's. Whenever we decide, I'm going to include myself in this, to make a huge change, we decide that we're going to go all in. And what tends to happen is that we get too uncomfortable. And so what I'm going to suggest to everyone is that we learn easy to not succeed. And so what I like to do is I like to focus on one area at a time. So focus on eating first, or exercising first, or sleep first, or whatever area you want to get better at. And if it's multiple areas, then just pick one to start. And what I like to do is I like to lean into it. So let's take eating, for example. What I like to do is I like to add things instead of removing them. So let's add servings of vegetables to your day. And so what that might look like is first track to see how many servings of vegetables you're eating on a regular basis. If you're only eating one, then don't go to five. Go to two. And you might want to do that 3 times a week or 4 times a week. And then after that becomes easy, then add another or increase the number of days that you're adding vegetables until you get to the desired number of vegetables that you're trying to eat per day. Same thing goes for exercise. Start out with 5 minutes a day, 3 times a week, and then either add time to those 3 times a week or add days. And so really lean into it. Make it easy for yourself. Because what happens then is if we make it too difficult, then we stop. And then we're no better off in 3 months than we were at the beginning.
Exactly. Elizabeth Sherman of Total Health by Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You don't have to give in to the circumstances that keep us confined at home. Take control of the situation by building a workout routine that you can perform in your own place. Take a long walk, run, or a bike ride. Use resistance bands to help build strength. Build a routine that uses your body weight to build strength and include various forms of push-ups. Ease into it. Start with a 5 or 10 minute routine and add more time each day. And keep a positive attitude through it all. Fitness won't happen overnight. For a list of exercises to include, visit the Exercise Library at ElizabethSherman.com. We'll also have a link on the Conversations page at WAER.org. Until next time, stay safe and wash your hands. I'm Joe Lee.